podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love the Vassa Piglet.
We love the Vassa Piglet.
We love the Vassa Piglet so much.
Long
live. That's going to make a lot more sense in a minute, I promise everyone.
It will. It really will.
It really will. But hi, everyone. Welcome back. It's Chaos Thursday, and let me tell you, this episode is going to be real chaotic because we are discussing our European adventure, a little Scandinavian adventure. I am Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, are you excited to dive into these stories?
I can't wait to tell the people all of our stories. They are hilarious. Hopefully you guys like them. If you don't, sorry. See you next week, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. If you enjoy them and you want to stick through them, we will be discussing Bridgerton a little bit at the end, what we think of the season thus far. And also, if you don't enjoy these stories, sorry, but this will be a fun little memory for us. We can look back on this episode and be like, oh my God, yes, remember those great things. So much like Taylor wrote Torture Poets Department for her, we're recording this episode for us. So hopefully it's still a chart topper. hopefully y'all still love it. Like everyone loved TPTPD. But if not, that's fine too. We understand. Okay. Let's dive into it I'm going to leave y'all hanging on the Vassa Piglet a little bit. Let's dive into it. Probably things are getting a little bit out of chronological order, but I'm going to try my best to keep us on chronological order just because like that'll help me. My brain discuss yes. it. So first of all, we all obviously arrived to New York at separate times. Let me tell you, Mike Land and I were little nervous Nellies. Katie, who is just, I tell her all the time, she's like the coolest person I know. She's also like the most type A personality person I know.
Yeah.
Which I wish I could live my life like that. It's just like everything is cool, calm, collected, go, go, go. I have a plan for everything. I show up and I have to take the air train and I'm by myself, okay? We all show up separately to New York because obviously we're all coming from three different cities. And I am like on the outside playing it cool. But on the inside, I'm a little bit panicked because I'm not familiar with JFK and I'm just like not familiar with the system. And I have to get to this like hotel by myself. And I know that I'm a grown adult woman and I'm capable of this. And yet it made me nervous, especially when you're like lugging around luggage. Right. So anywho, I literally texted Mike Land because when she arrived, she was like, where do I go? Like, am I heading in the right direction? I was like, yes, signs are very confusing. I'm with you. I literally texted her and I said, I just want you to know that I channeled you the best that I could, because anytime I'm in like the North, I try to like, if you're in a place like New York City where like, you know what I mean? Like someone's pissing on the subway and no one like pays attention because like New Yorkers are too cool to like care or whatever. I like try to channel my inner Michael Ann. I'm like, resting bitch face. Look like you're so bored of this situation. Do not make eye contact with people. Do not say hello to people. Do not say the word y'all in front of people. They will know. They will suss you out. They will know you're not from here. And so, yes, that is literally how the trip started, me being like, pretend you are from the North. Be cool. Be a New Yorker. I don't think I passed. But I tried. So anyways, so obviously first night, whatever. That's not that exciting. We did have New York pizza. I will die on this hill that pizza is pizza and is good anywhere. Anyone from New York, come for me. I don't care. I married a man from Long Island and I will die on this hill. He will die on the hill that it is better. I will die on the hill that I've had a lot of really good pizza and a lot of really good in a lot of different places. And I've had a lot of bad pizza in a lot of different places. And I don't think there's a difference between New York pizza and pizza made in other states or other countries in the world, to be honest.
Those are fighting words, probably.
It's controversial. That might be more controversial than my take on Thanksgiving dinner, truly, which
it really might be.
You wouldn't think, but I know that New Yorkers are very strongly about their pizza and it's the water and the crust and whatever. And I just don't care. I think it's perfectly good, the same as it is everywhere else, because it's pizza. It's one of the staples of great food. Anyways, moving on. I could go on a whole diatribe about that, and that's not what y'all are here to listen. We're here to talk about Europe, and we're only made it to New York so far. Anywho, the next day, okay, we get ready. Again, Katie, type A personality, is like, I have made this entire walking tour. I'm going to do this, that. It's going to take me 50 minutes on the train. But, and Michael Ann and I, two nervous Nellies, are like, no, we're not going to do that. I was like, that sounded great in theory, but now that we're here, we have an international flight to catch. And I can't stress enough, we were very nervous about, like, getting on that flight and it arriving on time and, like, whatever. Because, obviously, like, we needed to get there at a certain deadline to – you know, get to the show, obviously, because we were landing the day of the show. In the morning, the show was in the evening, but still. little bit nervous about that. So we do our nails and we end up heading to the airport. Happy days. This is where we got a little glimpse of how the other half lives. This is how like peasants we are. We, Katie has access to the Delta Lounge and she had two guest passes. So we got to go in and like, y'all, you would have thunk. Like, it was like a scene from Pretty Woman. We were like, what? What is this magical place? Like, it's not even, like, that crazy an experience. But for us, it was. We're like, look at these clean, spacious bathrooms with, like, hand lotion on the counters. And they give you free champagne when you walk in. And you can eat whatever you want. You just go up. The people we are sitting to next to, we cannot stress enough. We mentioned the guy a little bit on Tuesday. But we cannot stress enough just how like pretentious rich people they were. And yeah, they were talking very loudly and you like couldn't, it was like a train wreck. You couldn't like look away. So we were just very fascinated by them. And then, yeah, it ended with, well, first of all, when the older gentleman got up, the girl asked us real cash if we were going to Sweden just for the concert. And we're like, no, we're not rich people. Like, if we're going to Europe, we're going to stay and make a vacation out of it. Like, we're like, hi, I don't know what your life is, but that's not ours. So we're like, no, that will not be happening. And then the gentleman comes back, we're getting ready to leave. And that is when you heard this on Tuesday for, you know, obviously people listen to Tuesday's episode, that the guy was like, don't get arrested, Tess. And we're like, WTF?
Yeah.
What in the world?
We like very all strange. Just like looked at him like, okay, I think we'll be fine. And he's like, I don't know, it's Stockholm. And we're like, I don't know what that means.
Like, what does that mean? So I'm like, what happens in Stockholm that people, just American women, are going and getting arrested? Like, what? So that was very strange. But anyways, we go to the gate. They're pumping Taylor Swift. Like, they know what's up. They know why people are there, right? And we had... I made friendship bracelets for all their flight attendants. I did a lot of recon into how many there would be on a Delta International flight. Got my flight attendant friends to give me info. They got me a number. Super. So I made 8 friendship bracelets, which I did take a picture of so we can post that to our Instagram. They were all travel themed, obviously. So it was like, grab your passport in my hand. You're feeling like flying. My babies fly like a jet stream. Like, y'all, I love a theme. Okay. So... I make that, get them some goodies, like give them a little like chocolate and like little gummy bears, put that all in like little goodie bags. And we get on the flight. I see the like lead flight attendant in the front, because usually one of the two people greeting you is like the lead or whatever. And I'm like, here you go. Okay. And I was very excited about this. Okay, y'all. And she was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And she was like, are you ladies off to see our friend? And we're like, yes, absolutely. And she's like, oh, I'm going to have so much fun. And then I was like, there's friendship bracelets in there for all of you. Because I'm crazy. And then we go, obviously get in our seats. Thankfully, we were able to work out where we all pretty much sat next to each other, which was very great. And we're on the flight. Katie's a weirdo. I love you. If you ever listen to this, Katie, you know that I love you. But she's a weirdo, and she will, like, get on the floor of an airplane and sleep there, which is not only unsafe, but also unsanitary.
Yes.
But you know what? If it works – and she does it so sneakily, y'all, that, like, at one point in the middle of the night, I woke up. I looked over. I thought she'd gotten up to go to the bathroom. And then it dawned on me that her blanket was just so. And I was like, oh, no, she's sleeping on the floor again of an international flight. Weirdo.
Yes.
But again, love her dearly. She's a very wonderful person. But yeah, so that was happening. The flight attendants, I can happily report, loved the friendship bracelets, which made my heart very happy. One of the ladies actually came up to us right away and was going to the show that night, which was crazy. I can't believe she was working a shift and then like gonna go to the show that night. But rock on, girlfriend. She got the grab your passport in my hand and she was very excited about it. And I hope that she wore her bracelet to the concert. I'm sure that she did.
I'm sure
she did. And yeah, so they all came up and I was like, ooh, which one do you have? And the one lady was like, let me know if you need anything. And this is why y'all be nice to your flight attendants, because you can potentially like, then I'd be like, hello, excuse me, I need something. They'd be like, oh my God, that's the girl who made me a friendship bracelet. And they would help me out. So yeah, just in general, be nice to people, obviously. But be nice to your flight attendants. They're working really hard and can't stress this enough. When you are boarding and deplaning, which I think is some of the hardest part of their job, they are not getting paid. They're not getting paid, which is ridiculous. So give them goodies, and then they're nice to you. It's great. A little bit goes a long way. So there was an adorable elderly couple sitting next to me on the plane, y'all. They hold hands during, you know, basically landing and takeoff or whatever. And which is cute. the guy was like vlogging. He's like, day zero, travel to Stockholm. So cute. And Katie has this travel book, right? And she's saying like, yeah, I got it for Christmas for my sister, because she likes having like her little travel books with her, especially when you're going somewhere and you're not sure if you're gonna have service, you know, internet, whatever, with you everywhere that you go. It's nice to like have something. She would take screenshots of it in the morning, and we would have it to kind of learn things, which we will get into later, everyone. But anyways, so she gives it to me because I'm trying to look up something, because I had looked up some like very rudimentary Swedish before we went on this trip in case we needed it. And I was like, the only thing I didn't get a chance to look up was like how you ask for the check at a restaurant. So she hands me this book. We wake up. Michael Ann's like, damn, it's like 7 a.m., which it was in Swedish time. And that was one of many Taylor Swift references obviously made on this trip. Mm-hmm. And anyways, so Katie gives me this book, right, y'all? And it's the Rick Steves book, which she had just literally thrown shade at and was like, this is a terrible book, but it was given to me as a gift. And my dad's like a big fan of his because he's a boomer man, you know. She was like, but I don't really like his style very much. But, you know, some of it's good tips. So she gives it to me. The lovely, wonderful little sweet gentleman sitting next to me goes, are you going on Rick Steves' tour in Stockholm? And I was like, what? And he's like, the book, you got the book complimentary for booking the tour. And I go, oh, it's my friend's actually. And no, she just got it as a Christmas gift. Like, it's not, we're not part of any tour. And I go, wait, you're going on a tour? Like, he himself is providing this tour? And he's like, yes, we're very excited about it. And I'm like, we were just throwing shade at him. Hope you did not hear that. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. So I tell Katie when we deplane and we're like waiting forever through passport control.
Oh my God, forever.
I was like, the couple sitting next to me is going on the Rick Steves tour in Stockholm this week. And she was like, forget Taylor Swift. We got a real celebrity in town. Iconic. But yes, then we get to customs, which takes us forever, and there's like no air in this building.
No air.
Minus forever.
No air.
And y'all, we have found a couple of things. Overall, Europe is better in like every possible way. Yes, okay. This correct. Is where we can proudly say USA, USA about one of them, passport control. Because you want to know what happens when you arrive at JFK? There's even 20 windows open, yeah. Baby. Like they are rocking you and rolling you through it. You are not waiting worth anything. Every other country that I went through passport control, it's like two windows open. You're all just going to wait. The lady was the sweetest lady. They always ask you like what you're there for. Like, why are you here? Where are you staying? And we walk up and she's like, I have a feeling I know what you're here for. And we're like, yeah. absolutely adorable woman. Loved her. The lady in Copenhagen threw shade at my passport photo and I did not appreciate that.
Rude.
I was like, ma'am, I know it's hideous. Okay.
Wow.
But she was like, not one of your best pictures, huh? And I was like, okay,
oh,
man.
My God. Okay. Wow.
Savage. Absolutely savage. But the lady in Sweden was super nice. And anyways, so yeah, passport control, USA, USA. Postage stamps are very expensive in Sweden, we learn. So boom, got them. We went on that regard. Also, air conditioning, obviously.
Air conditioning. Ceiling fans.
Having ceiling fans in, like, every room in your house, we went on that regard. Last but not least is mostly working escalators in buildings. Because let me tell you.
Yes.
Sweden had a lot of escalators, and not a single one of them worked that I saw that entire trip. God bless them. But, anywho, we have arrived. We finally made it through passport control. Michael Ann, I'm going to let you take over from here some of the lugging luggage. And then obviously we'll get to the good part of the day.
Yeah, we couldn't check into our Airbnb until 4, but we got there at 8 a.m. But of course it took like, what, an hour to get through customs? And like,
by the time we made it to the day hotel, it was like 10 a.m. like almost 10:30 a.m. I believe.
Yes.
Because we landed at 7 a.m.
I was like, our nap time.
Everything cut short. We're like, we have so much nap time, ladies. We've got this. And then no.
When we got to the day hotel, there was all this confusion with the booking, which was annoying.
Oh, such a hassle.
Mostly for Bethany, because me and Katie were just laying on the couches in the lobby. But so tired.
Mind you, we're staying at the hotel for like 5 hours. Now, 5 hours. Okay, it's like probably a little bit longer than that. But like basically 5 hours. And he literally made me go get Katie's identification. He's like, who's the second guest? Because I lied and I said it was two of us. Because that's the only way they would let me book it. And I was like, he's like, I need their ID. Sir, we're going to be here for the next 5 hours. Do you really need your identification? What is going to happen in 5 hours?
So our freaking nap time was going down, 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 down. But we finally get into the room. There's only one bed. So we're all getting in there.
We're a fanfic trope. There was only one
bed. There was only one bed. And so we took a nap in that bed. I went immediately into that bed. I was like, I'm not doing anything.
We Willy Wonka'd that bitch.
We did.
And let me tell you, it worked. Like, we were all so tired. I did not feel a single other soul in that bed. I was in that bed by myself, as far as I knew. Like, it worked. You can fit three grown adults in a king size bed, as it turns out.
Exactly. Yeah, so then we got some lunch, and then we showered and got ready, and we headed over to the Airbnb, and this is where chaos erupted for me, personally. Where chaos erupted. On the way to the train, on the way to the Airbnb and the train and everything, I'm like, oh, I don't really feel good. And then, like, as we kept going, it just kept getting, like, increasingly worse. I'm like, oh, God, I am so sick right now. So we get to the Airbnb. I'm sick for, like, literally 45 minutes. Like, at one point, I was like, I can't go to the concert. I can't go. I am too sick. This is fucking awful. But I rallied. She did. And we made it for Paramore.
Yes. Yeah, we made it in, like, really good timing, mm-hmm. all things considered. Also, for a little update for everyone, because you aren't in our group chat where this was determined, you're probably like, Bethany, I thought you were going as Folklore. That's what you kept talking about in the podcast. And then you went in a Reputation outfit. You're correct. My outfit changed like three different times. I had a backup Folklore outfit that didn't end up panning out. I then ordered a third Folklore outfit that I was set. I was going in that outfit. It wasn't exactly what I hoped it would be, but it was cute. I liked it well enough. I did still end up wearing that outfit, as you all can see on the gram, but I ended up wearing it a different day. Anywho, my friend Bev, like, very casually was like, I'm gonna make you a jacket. Like, you have say in it. Like, what do you want? And I was like, oh, Reputation would be cool, whatever. She made the most badass jacket I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, this has to be, like, I can't just wear this on a casual day. Like, this has to be the concert look. And so I pivoted. So just to explain, blame my friend Bev for making the coolest jacket, maybe one of the coolest pieces of clothing I've ever put on in my entire life. And yeah. I will say, when the three of us were getting ready and we, like, put on the lipstick and walked out, like, I was ready to do crimes. Like, we,
yes.
We were ready to take on the world. Like, we looked fierce. Then we lugged luggage for, like, 45 minutes and we're sweating and we're miserable for a minute. Yes. Michael Ann in particular, because of the feeling
particularly
sick from all
me
of it.
yes
but all of us were like, oh yeah, whatever. But like she said, we rallied and we made it to the concert, and it was everything. It was everything I've ever wanted it to be and more. Also, very reasonable stadium food pricing, just want that to be known. My dinner was like $13 USD. And I got a drink, which is not really something I usually do at concerts, to be honest, mostly because I want to hydrate because I'm going to be, like, sweating and screaming my lugs out from dancing and singing and stuff, which I did get a big old glass of water. But they had recorder leg, y'all, like, just recorder leg everywhere. And I was in Sweden, and recorder leg's, like, my favorite cider. And so I did decide to get one. And it was, like, $7 for a cider, which at a concert is, like, very good, I think.
Yeah.
So kudos to you, Friends Arena, which is sadly changing sponsor soon and will not be Friends Arena anymore, for having very reasonable concert food pricing. Good on you.
Yes.
Good on you.
And I do also want to stress that we had probably slept.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Yeah. Like three, tops.
Like maybe 4 hours tops, I'd say.
Yeah.
Combined with the plane and the nap. We were Delulu, but
so Delulu.
It was amazing. We had great seats. The Swedish people, yes, around us were a little bit quieter than especially me, what in particular for one of the performances. But yeah, that was great. The TTPD set is wow.
Yeah,
like all I can say is wow to that one. That's the best one. Bar none.
That it's the best one. I've had a few people ask me since returning from the trip, since I have been very fortunate to see what we call the Old Testament, the original version of the Eras Tour, and the New Testament, Which of course is the current version being toured. And I was like, I don't know if this is recency bias or what. Like, obviously I'm so fortunate that I got to see the original one because there are certain things that I do severely miss, tolerate it. Do really miss, tolerate it. But that's just me being nitpicky. So I'm very happy that I got to see it in its original iteration. Don't get me wrong. But this, I legitimately think it's TTPD that like puts it over the edge for me. Like that set, like that portion of it is so strong that like just the entire show is elevated. Like it, I was like, again, I can't stress enough, we barely had any sleep. And when we got back to the Airbnb, I'm like, I could go for another 12 hours, baby, let's go. Like I was so like hyped from the show. Like I don't, it was honestly amazing. And just getting to trade friendship bracelets with people, like we're on the train, seeing people's outfits, like that's my favorite. Like, I mean, obviously seeing Taylor and seeing the show is, you know, amazing. But I love just the atmosphere of a Taylor Swift concert. Like just getting to see, again, like we're in another country and like seeing, you know, all these people. And it just like, it was fantastic. We got some really good surprise songs. I know that we like missed Guilty as Sin by like a day basically, which I'm a little bit bitter about. And I know that Lisbon got some really great quality surprise songs, but I'm overall very pleased with our surprise songs. We got a little mashup. She called it the Max Martin because he was there, one of her producers who was originally from Sweden. So she did Message in a Bottle, How You Get the Girl, and New Romantics like mashed up together. And then we got How Did It End on piano, which we're big fans of here at 8 Spinner Bay. We love How Did It End. We love a good heartbreaking song. So I was very excited to get like the world premiere of that one live. So yeah, you know, if I was being nitpicky, like, yeah, there are certain songs obviously I would want a little bit more. But I would say overall, like 10 out of 10. And all the new outfits. I succeeded, y'all. I like went in, no spoilers. So I did not know what the TTPD outfit looked like. I didn't know what the new 1989 outfit looked like. I didn't know that like Folklore and Evermore was smushed into one hybrid thing now. My cry count was like 2. I got a little emotional during Fearless, and Marjorie absolutely always guts me. And the fact that I had like 3 hours of sleep, I was just like, like a boohoo ugly cry. Like it wasn't a cute cry, y'all. It was an ugly cry. And Katie was like the one standing right next to me, and she's like, it's okay. I'm like, I'll be fine in a minute. And thank God the next song was Willow, and we brought out the orbs and the capes. And I was like, all right, witchy moment. I'm good to go now.
We're back, baby.
So that was good. And that's day one. And we also did, like, when we left, like, part of me at first was like, oh, my God, like, it's going to kind of suck to have the concert first thing, because then, like, that's the reason we came. Like, that's, like, the big thing to look forward to. But it really worked out because, A, like, that day was always going to be a wasted day as far as, like, sightseeing went anyways, concert day. So, like, it didn't matter because, like, we showed up and it was kind of a hot, like, hodgepodge, hot mess of just, like, getting checked in places and eating lunch and whatever. So that kind of worked, A. But B, like, we finished that concert, and usually after I leave a Taylor Swift concert, I go into a deep depression because I'm like, oh, what will I look forward to? But I had a whole week in Europe to look forward to, yes. So I was like, okay, we're just getting started. Like, we're good. So that was – that, like, really – that was good. It worked out well, I think, in the grand scheme of things. I will say we all bought posters and then all panicked because we're like, how are we getting this back in our luggage? And we spent the entire rest of the trip trying to find tubes, like little poster tubes. And so I will say the Argentina trip is always known as a trip where we spent days trying to find peanut butter. This trip will always be remembered as the day we spent like 7 days trying to find a poster tube. But success on our last day, literally like last full day in Europe, we did find them. So, and they were like $1. It was a great deal. So that is a win. Day two was obviously we're not getting like too into like the sightseeing stuff because like honestly like all of you probably don't care too much. I mean, I do. We saw some cool shit. But day two, we will get into a little bit of the sightseeing stuff because this is where we go to the Vasa Museum, which when I first heard about it, I was like, yeah, like that sounds kind of cool. Like, I mean, whatever. Like, I like museums. Like, well, that's like different. Let me tell you the joy that the Vasa Museum brought to us, okay?
So much joy.
And again, to be clear, we were still a little like, woo, like jet lagged, adjusting to the time. We'd barely slept the day before, so like we'd finally kind of got a night's sleep. But I still think, I mean, I really think the entire trip we were like a little bit running on fumes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which is like how these things kind of pan out. Yeah. But that's what makes for some great quality content sometimes. If you'd like to indulge us, Michael Ann, in the story of the Vasa.
Okay, so this ship was built in, like, I don't know, what was it, like the 1600s, I think?
1600s, yeah. Like, it's old.
And it's freaking huge. And when you look at the
gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. When you look at the pictures of it from when it was built, it's, like, super colorful. And there's all these, like, really intricate carvings and stuff all over it. And it's just, like, we'll post a picture. I'm sure we can find one. And, but here's what happened. This ship was made as like a propaganda, like, showcase to show the world, like, Sweden's here, baby. We're not one to fuck with.
And our strong, strong military.
Yes. It was big, strong man, big, strong king vibes. Yeah. So the Vasa sunk about 1 mile off the coast.
Yeah. Yeah, she'd been on sail for a whole 6 minutes. They fired her cannons, and what was the exact word? A gust of wind came by.
A strong gust of wind.
Yeah,
tipped her
not
over.
Not even like a storm. Anything. A strong gust of wind tipped this bitch over. This massive warship that they made to be like, Sweden, do not mess with us, immediately sinks. A strong gust of wind tipped her over.
Mm-hmm.
And that, my friends, is the hubris of man. Yes. And this is like a tragic thing. I mean, like, thankfully, like, not a ton of people were on board, because again, this was like a propaganda sailing. Like, they weren't like really taking her to war, so it wasn't like fully manned at the time. But it's still like overall a tragic thing that happened a long time ago, but tragic. But when you read these like little information about it, it was so funny to us. Like, we could stop laughing.
They were so blunt. Like, they were just so blunt. Like, it was like literally in the museum, it was like a strong gust of wind tipped the ship over. It was like, it was just so like sarcastic, the whole thing. And I was like, these Swedes, they got a sense of humor.
God love them. They're fantastic. There was downstairs, like, the main attraction, obviously, like, is seeing the ship. And then you go up and you can kind of see it from different angles. And also, let me tell y'all, I've been to Europe before, but I forget how much, like, Europeans will put a cafe in anything. Like, a museum makes sense to me. Like, we do that. We put restaurants in cafes. But, like, you go to the sauna, there's a cafe in that bitch. You go to a garden, there's a cafe in that. But, like, they will put a cafe in anything.
I love that.
So there's obviously a cafe, which we will get to Fika. We are big Fika fans.
Yes.
So there is a cafe there and whatever. And then, like, there's, like, little, like, they retrieve certain, you know, like, trinkets, clothing, stuff like that. And also upstairs are kind of, like, telling you more about, like, the excavation of it and stuff. But they have this one room where it's, like, basically showing you, like, from on shore's perspective of the day it sank. And there's literally this lady who's looking like these dumbass men. Like, basically, like, Margaret, get down here. They sank another ship. Like, we were like crying laughing over the statue of this woman being like, god damn, these dumb ass 1600s men with their freaking propaganda warships. It's like, it again, it's probably like you had to be there moment, but when I tell you, we were rolling over this. It was so funny. We go get a little fika. We're big on that tradition of the Swedes, getting a little afternoon coffee and a treat, a little pastry. We were all about that.
Yes.
And then, of course, you have to exit through the gift shop.
Obviously.
Which is where a legend was born.
A legend was born. So we were perusing the gift shop. We weren't really that impressed, to be honest. We get to the books. And there is a children's book. Now, just so you guys know, 30 people died on the Vasa.
Yes.
30 people. So we get this book and it's like, it's called The Vasa Piglet. And we all look at each other and we're like, how can this possibly end? Like, how can this possibly end? So we like read it, we're looking through it. It ends by the ship sinking and the pig being happy about it because now he's not going to be somebody's dinner. And he's just happily like floating on a piece of driftwood in the ocean, smiling. Iconic. And I don't know what it is about that, but that is so funny. Like, what?
That is making lemons into lemonade. They were like, we would like to tell the story of the Vasa to children. How do we possibly make this have a happy ending? Because again, it is a tragic story in the grand scheme of things. And they're like, by George, we've got it. What we're going to do is we're going to say this pig was brought on board to be a meal. But because the ship sank a whole 5 minutes after setting sail, it was able to survive.
Yep. Floating on driftwood. Happy as a lark. I was like, this is so strange. So I was looking around. I'm searching around the gift shop. I'm like, I need a Vasa piglet. I don't care if it's a sticker. I don't care if it's a mug. I don't care if it's a – I don't care what it is. I need it. And luckily for me, they had a little stuffed version of the Vasa piglet. So that was my first souvenir beyond the concert poster, obviously. Yes.
As it should be. And I'm a little jealous that I did not pick one up myself. But the Vasa Piglet is always with me. He's right by Michael Ann as we record. So I feel his spirit still. And I love him. And I feel like one of the days we'll need to get this book. I'm sure it must exist online somewhere. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I hope so. Look at him. There he is. He's very cute. We'll also post a picture of him.
If either of you ever have children, that'll be my gift to your child. The Vasa Piglet
story. Yes, I love it. That's fantastic. Speaking of children, this perfectly segues into our next story. Also, before I forget, on our very first day, we took a lot of public transport, which we've also learned that Michael Ann is a little bit like a baby. You get her in a moving vehicle and she gets the sleepy. So then you have to be like, okay, we got to like caffeinate her after you're like, all right, baby, we got this. Favorite thing. So like we took a boat tour and like one of our first things we did in Copenhagen to like kind of get our bearings, and also because like everyone said you should do it was take a boat tour. It was great, but we're on a boat, like a moving vehicle, for like an hour, and you're like out there, the sea breeze, whatever, and Michael Ann got off and she's like, yeah, I'm done.
I was like
she's got the sleepies, we gotta get some food in her, we gotta get her some caffeine.
I was struggling on that boat. I was like falling asleep. I was doing everything I could to not be falling asleep, but it was really hard. I had a little Lara bar in my bag. I'm like, all right, let me shove this in my mouth. This has got to be something. No. We got off the thing and I was like, we need coffee and we need it right now.
She's like, where can we go? Is there any food? And I was like, yes, okay, fair. Also, so there's that. But so on our first days in Sweden, we realized that they call elevators hiss. And it's our favorite freaking thing. Like, that's our favorite word. We're obsessed with it. And it was just so appropriate because the first day we were there, we were like on a reputation garb and we're like, oh my God, Sweden is also in its reputation era. Hiss. So we are obsessed with that. So A+ on that one, Sweden. But let us get to one of our favorite stories of the trip, one of our favorite inside jokes. Little count of some other inside jokes for everyone. Obviously, Taylor Swift references galore. Another thing is, for some odd reason, well, I know what the reason is. It's because Michael Ann has been binge watching Project Runway. But the amount of times that we quoted Tim Gunn's "Make It Work" to each other, I would be a millionaire if we would have gotten a quarter for each time, because we were about that. For some odd reason, also that Kamala Harris gif of like, we did it, Joe. Kept quoting like anytime we ever had to lug luggage somewhere to the next city, to the next room, we're like, we did it, Joe. That was big, funny, big running joke of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Katie mentioning food halls, that became a big running thing, and for days she couldn't get a food hall. The one food hall she found was literally closed on the day that we were there. She's like, wait, it's closed on Mondays, we can't even go. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So food halls, don't worry everyone, she did inevitably get to stop at quite a few by the end of the trip. Another thing which Michael Ann and I are still getting targeted ads for to this day, American Girl dolls. And I know what you're thinking, everyone. How did American Girl dolls keep coming up while you were in Sweden? Well, great question. So Katie had an American Girl dolls collection. Not collection, she didn't like have all of them, but she had a few of them growing up, and the different accessories. And her grandma, many, many moons ago, when she went to Sweden, got her these gloves and like a little hat that looked a lot like her American Girl doll Kirsten that she had, and because that's like very much like the style of the era that she came from, was like a lot of like these handcrafted Swedish trinkets and stuff. So she was determined on this trip to find this. And every, like, gift shop we went into, she'd be like, I'm looking for a meme or whatever. And, like, other little things, she'd be like, this reminds me of my American Girl doll. Like, it came up so much.
So much.
And we literally were getting targeted ads now for American Girl dolls. I also own an American Girl doll, but it was Molly, and she's, like, from the 40s, so that didn't really come up a lot.
Yeah.
But Molly for life, she was always my favorite, in case anyone is curious. But now, any other running jokes I'm, like, forgetting before I get into the creme de la creme, the one that, like, makes us pee our pants every time?
No, I can't think of anything else. I snuck in so many Gilmore Girls
references. Oh, Gilmore Girls references. That's one day. What day was that? Was that like day three? Within a 40-minute time. Oh, I just thought of another one. Rick Steves is involved in this. How could I forget? But yes, so many Gilmore Girls references that I, like, one time Michael was like, you know what this makes me think of? And dumb me goes, what? Like, she hadn't just made 20 Gilmore Girls references, and she makes another one, and I go, really should have called that. Really should have called that. Should have known. But here's where we get to when we were in the modern part of Stockholm. So, okay, like I said, Katie screenshotted some of this tour guidebook, right? When we were in the old town part, and then I'm going to get to, I keep being like, I'm going to get to this one thing, but then I'm going through the list of jokes for everyone. So we were in the old town. She's like talking this, you know, Rick Steves is like giving us history of stuff. And we're like, oh, these are all like lovely facts, you know, whatever. Except for one time when we like both really had to pee. And then I was like, I don't care. I would like to find a bathroom. Another thing America wins on.
Yes.
Free public restrooms.
Yes.
But also like Stockholm though was so clean, so pretty. So like I was nice. Just so impressed. Like so yeah. Everyone was so nice. Like kudos to you, Stockholm. Anywho, so we are walking around and she's like trying to get her bearings and she's like, I don't know the finest gables. Like, oh my God. So I can't stand this guy. Like, who writes like this? And I was like, boomer men. So then everything that day was like, well, but is it the finest gables? Or is it by the finest gables? I don't know. Those don't look like the finest gables to me. And that became a thing. So then the next day we do like the modern part of the city, right? Which was the only place we saw a Starbucks in the entirety of Sweden, which mind you, we did not see all of Sweden, obviously. We went to three different cities and did not see anything except for this one Starbucks, which is wild to me. Again, not like we were like searching Starbucks out, but just like, you know how it is, like even when you're in Europe, you're like, oh my God, Starbucks has really taken over. It is everywhere. Not in Sweden. So right on, Sweden, I guess, you know, although I do love my Starbs. And we did kind of want to get the souvenir mug, so we were kind of searching Starbucks out, but not really. Anywho, we found one. So we're going around like the newer part of Sweden. And it's talking about this one area, which has become like a big play area. There's ash trees, not safe. So Katie's reading from a storybook. And she's like, you know, here's where the latte dads bring their
children to play on the astroturf. Children
to play on the astroturf. And then it's just the most like boomer man judgmental. Like these new guys who aren't real, like back when men were men, we didn't drink lattes, we drank scotch neat. Because ice is for pussy. You know what I mean? Like, those are the vibes that came off. Like, I'm just asking questions. When did boys turn into soy boys? And when, like, it was giving, I'm just asking questions vibes, right?
Yes.
So we are peeing our pants over latte dads. And that became a running joke. Like, any playground area, we're like, you think it's where the latte dads hang out? Or, like, each city, we were like, I think smoothie dads hang out here. This is where the milkshake dads.
Milkshake dads.
So we just came up with a whole, and we're like, do the latte dads hang out with the cappuccino moms, or do they not get along?
Like, they rivals?
Is it a turf war? Are they rivals? Is this like West Side Story, you know? So that was like, again, one of the funniest things to us. So here we go. Here's our top joke, I think, of the entire trip, which happens because we
are. Oh my God.
What?
Wait. We are about to feel like assholes, I think.
Oh my God, I'm excited now.
I think we're about to feel like assholes. I just googled latte dads because I'm like, where did this come from? Truthfully, like we were.
Right. What does the term latte dad mean?
It's actually a thing. Find out why Stockholm baby clubs and cafes are full of latte dads, and how shared parenting is now a social norm in Sweden. Latte dads.
Oh, so we love the latte dads.
We love the latte dads. Yes.
We love the latte dads and the smoothie and the milkshake dads.
They hang out in coffee shops.
I did not know this was a thing in Stockholm.
They hang out in coffee shops and are frequently objectified by Swedish women. They are Scandinavian dilfs.
We don't love that for them. Oh, okay. Get it, Scandinavian dilfs. Rick Steve should have elaborated and then we would have understood. But he was just such a boomer about it. He's like, latte dads hang out. When really it's a Stockholm thing. Oh my God, we're going to have to tell Katie that apparently this is a real thing.
It's a direct result of Sweden's parental leave policy.
Which I bet is amazing.
Oh, I bet.
Because everywhere is except for here.
Yeah, it's the most generous in the world. Let's see.
Blah, blah. Oh, of course it is.
Of course. He says that a latte dad or a latte papa is a common sight.
A latte papa. A latte papa.
Oh. The Swedish government says that parents of both sexes are entitled to 16 months of paid parental leave.
Fuck yes, Sweden.
80% of their salary.
Hells to the yeah, which I agree. And I think every other country should get on board with. You know what? I'm beginning to think that AC isn't worth it. It's not worth it. Like, I can adjust, right? Like, if you move to a place with a mild climate, like, it's fine.
Also, like, in your own home, like, you can buy one, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can buy. You can, but we can install fans. Like, we have that right.
Exactly.
We have that right.
Exactly. Like, the problems in Europe, which is the AC, basically, strictly, well, in Stockholm. Stockholm was my favorite city. I've been dreaming about it ever since. I want to live there. So nice. I'm going to throw caution to the wind. I'm out
I
of here.
I want to have 16 months of like paid paternity leave and both you and your spouse get that. God damn.
That's so incredible. Nice. 16 months. Holy 16 shit. Months.
And both people get it. That's fantastic. Paid. Can you like paid? That's great. I'm happy. You know what? Latte dads, go off, King.
Yes. We love you, latte dads.
I'm happy for you. Yes. We're so happy for
but
you.
But out of context, that's a hilarious name that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But in context, now that we know the context, which thank you for the context, fantastic. But yes, let us get to, speaking of paternity leave, great segue, to here we are, like I said, lots of public transport. But the thing about public transport is it's loud. Like, if you're on a train, like, on, like, a metro system, like, you've got the metro system noises. You also have intercom noises. You have people talking around you. So when you're three people sat next to each other, like, only the two people right next to each other can hear each other very well. So we're talking about we're taking a 4.5-hour train ride from Stockholm to Malmo, okay? We discussed the crazy lady that we ended up with in her breathing wormhole exercises, okay, on Tuesday. But mind you, we're on the train. Katie's saying something to me because I was like, she had bought the tickets and I was like, we have reserved seats. And she's like, yes, because I've been on trains before in Europe where you don't. And then you're like sitting on the ground with your suitcase and it's a whole situation, right? Anyways, we're on this train. And I was like, again, just verifying something about the tickets or whatever. And she's like, yeah, so it's technically four people around a table and the fourth ticket. The fourth ticket has been sold. And I was like, oh gosh, because again, like I said on Tuesday, like Americans, like we're known as being loud. And like I said, here we are joking around about latte. We didn't even know about, you know, we did know about latte dads by now. We're doing like that. We're just like make it work to each other and being like, baby, at the end of like every sentence and just like, we're obnoxious, right? Okay. Like I know that about myself. I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And I'm like, I don't want to embarrass myself in front of the Europeans because they're so cool. And so I was like, oh God, like this poor fourth person on the train. So Michael Ann like only hears bits and pieces of this. And she's like, what? And I was like, there's going to be a fourth person on the train with us tomorrow. So we're laughing so hard. You probably understood that.
Oh my God. She told me that there was going to be a fourth person on the train with us. Yes. That's what she said. There's going to be a fourth person on the train with us.
My God, looked at me, y'all, with this, like, bewildered, like, almost sort of shocked expression. I'm like, I don't know why.
I thought she was telling me she was pregnant.
And I'm just trying to let her know that a fourth ticket had been bought by us on this train. I'm crying. That was my favorite thing. And so obviously, as you can tell, we find it very funny. And we were very slap happy for most of the trip. So like days later, we're like walking around. We're just like, fourth person on the train. And I just want everyone to know, again, if I were to ever have a child or like Katie ever has a child or whatever, the only way to tell Michael Ann will obviously there's going to be a fourth person on the train. But it was just like, what a weird time to tell someone. Like, we're on public transport heading to our next destination in Europe. Mind you, she saw me have like an alcoholic beverage the night before and was like, what? And I was like, no, 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 no. Definitely not. Just a crazy lady who's going to be working on her breathing exercises will be sitting next to us on the train. That was my favorite thing that happened probably the entire trip. Running bit. Oh my God. It was just so funny. It was so funny. We were like walking through. We were in Copenhagen, yeah, because we were on our way to see the Little Mermaid. We are walking through this like fortress, and we just started singing Fortnite, but we're like in a fortress. We're trying to find a public restroom again. It always comes down to trying to find a public restroom in Europe. And I was always. Like, I wish there was a bathroom. And then again, we're just like, there's a fortress on the train, and we just were like in hysterics. So really, it's the simple things like it's that. Stockholm. We did Malmo. We did, I don't know if it's pronounced Lund. I'm sorry. My Swedish pronunciation is not great. Malmo was very, it was a different, it was like a sea vibe, sea town. It's still a pretty big city. It's not as big as Stockholm, but it's very easy. Like you literally, I suggest going there, but like you can get it done in a day, truly. Cause like yeah. We rolled up in the evening and like we saw all the main sights in the evening. Like the little squares are very cute. Like that's kind of their big thing. Obviously going out to the Baltic Sea is a cool thing. Lund is like very like tiny. It's like a little college town, very cute, very photogenic. We obviously saw lots of palaces, lots of botanical gardens on this trip. That was all very good. The one thing that I regret is we stopped at this grocery store in Sweden in which Katie kept dropping her yogurt. That was
and I was mess. I had a bag. I said, Katie, put your yogurt in my bag.
Yeah, I'm good.
She refused.
Even after she dropped it and had to go get a new one from the nice Swedish people, they had a ton of really cool Swedish chocolate. And we're like, no, like we're just going to wait. We don't want to like lug that around with us. You know, whatever. And we should have bought the chocolate. That's my one regret. Yeah. We should have bought the chocolate. Other quick things. And then we will wrap up this and do a brief Bridgerton. Okay. Yes. What was I going to say? Okay. Yes. So Sweden, Stockholm, fantastic. Malmö and Lund. Again, I don't think I would have spent any more time than we did in either of those two places, but I'm glad that we did it. Like my big thing when I go to another country is I want to see like the big capital. And then I like kind of want to like check out some other maybe smaller places to see like what the vibe is. Katie and I were brave and we did go to a traditional Swedish sauna in Malmö, which was wild, but also very fun. Like, I would do it again, I think. I did go and do a plunge into the Baltic Sea afterward. It was, like, 50 degrees. I looked up what the temperature was on the day that I went. It was, like, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So freezing. Oh, that was another running joke of the trip, is I would make Katie tell me things in football fields. I played the dumb American card, and I was like, I don't understand these metric system. I was like, how far is that in football fields? And then no lie, the first day in Copenhagen, like I kept joking around about it. But the first day in Copenhagen, the man who was our little like tour guide on the boat, when he would translate things to English, one time he used a system that was like, that's like two football fields. And I was like, he gets it. So I was like, thank you for dumbing that down for us dumb Americans. I do need to know it in football fields. So that was great. So we will quickly wrap up with Denmark because obviously that is how we wrapped up the trip. So that's all the Sweden stuff, I think, pretty much that we have to tell. It was great. I know Michael and I have already posted on Insta. I did have a themed outfit for every day because I am that extra. I just love a theme. I had a lot of fun picking out my outfits. I regretted it a little bit when my luggage was so big, but I made it and I made it back with all my crap, including my souvenirs. So I am proud of myself for that. But anywho, wrap up in Denmark, Copenhagen. It's so interesting. Like obviously Denmark and Sweden are close to each other and yet still there was a lot of similarities, but it also was a very different vibe. I would say like Stockholm, I just think it was like so pretty and like so clean. Copenhagen reminds me a little bit of other European cities where they're like, we're just going to draw a dick on things because we can.
Yeah.
Graffiti, you know, is a little bit more graffiti. It's obviously not everywhere, but there's graffiti and stuff. But I also just think Copenhagen was so cool. Like so everyone cool. There was just so cool. And like the vibe of the place was so cool. And it was just like, I don't know, like it just, so like, I love them both, but in like very different ways. Like, I was like, I love how like nice everyone was in Stockholm. And I love how pretty it was and how walkable. I mean, both of them are very like public transport, walkable, whatever. But like something like Copenhagen just had this like edge to it.
Yeah.
Like,
it has like a,
like it's like edgy and cool.
It has like a punk scene.
Yes. Like, yes. That's the, but like, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Like I saw so many vibes. Like true punks. Like,
yes.
Like, when you think punk in your head, like, we saw so many of them, and I'm like, oh my God, these people are so cool.
It was so cool.
It was really cool.
Like, I wish I had an iota of the coolness of the people in Copenhagen. So that was it, and seeing the canals and the, you know, the pretty colored buildings, and then saw the Little Mermaid, even though we were told multiple times that it's one of the most disappointing landmarks in Copenhagen. I was not disappointed by her. I liked her. I don't know what people were expecting. I'm like, it's a statue. Like,
yeah.
You walk, you go see it. Like, the whole area is, like, very pretty. Like, the walk to it, honestly, I think is worth it. Like, yeah. At least the path we took was very pretty. You go see her, you get your picture done, you move on. Like, I don't know what people really expect out of her. But that was very cool. One of our favorite nights, personally for me, of the trip. I mean, obviously, like, Taylor Swift is, like, the night. But one of my favorite nights of the trip was that first night in Copenhagen. We went to this, like, old shipping container. They've turned into, like, this, like, food truck food hall place. Again, just – I was cooler just so by being cool. there by association. Yeah. So cool. And, like, we have to watch the sunset. Like, Lana got a tattoo because she's a badass. Like, it was just, like – I could have just we kept saying, like, if we lived there, we would be there every Friday night after work. We'd be, like, happy hour at this, like, food truck. We'd get food. We'd get treats. Like, I had, like, one of the best. I was, like, joking around because it was an expensive hot chocolate. I was like, this bitch better be good. And it truly was one of the best hot chocolates I've ever had. And I was like, okay, I'm not as bitter about how much money I spent on this hot chocolate now. That was really good. Only negative is if you were taking public transport to the bus, they do not run it enough, which was honestly kind of comical. Now yeah, I was trying to get back to the hotel after leaving this place. So that was kind of a whole journey in and of itself. And then, yeah, and then last day in Copenhagen came, and I'm still bitter that we're not in Europe. Oh, God, take me back. I have to, like, be back here and, like, do my job.
I know. I was sitting at my desk today, and I was like, is this real? I have – on my computer background is one of my pictures from Copenhagen, and I just look at it, like, tapping around.
I was there. Yeah, so last day was pretty cool. Again, a little, like, go, 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 par for the course. I did go to Tivoli Gardens. That was one of the last things we did. Super cool. They have, like, a really good ballet. Very affordable. Again, I'm always amazed how, like, affordable theme parks are to go to. Super historical. One of the inspirations, it's often quoted as one of the inspirations of Disneyland, because when Walt was planning his park, he went to visit there and was like, oh, this is how you do a themed land. This is great. And you can really see that when you go there, like, how, you know, he would have taken some inspiration from it. But yeah, very affordable, very pretty. We went on the Hans Christian Andersen ride, because when in Europe, I did laugh when we got to the Little Mermaid scene, because I was like, oh yes, the difference between Europeans and Americans, because in the European version of Little Mermaid, her boobies are just right out. And I was like, in America, we would never. We'd be like, this is right, it's for the children. We must guard them.
Yes.
I also was super slap happy. Again, like, a lot of these fairy tales have now been adapted by Disney, you know, obviously Little Mermaid, Snow Queen, yada, yada, yada. Yep. So when we, like, rounded the corner to go see the Snow Queen, I was like, Elsa? which made me laugh way more than it should have. But yeah, so that was super cool to see. I found the s'more board, which is, like, their open face sandwiches, which is, like, a big thing in Denmark. Lego everywhere, obviously, in Denmark, because it's from there. Mm-hmm. We did not go to any we did go to Lego store, actually, in Denmark. And they had Lego in the theme park as well. We did not go to any IKEA as well in Sweden, y'all. I don't know, mistake, maybe. Not a single. We did drive by one on our way from the airport to the day hotel, but we did not go into one. So overall, our time in the land of Fika and IKEAs and Lego and the Little Mermaid, I would say 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
And truly, I know people are like, there's all these jokes this summer about, like, should I go see Taylor Swift in Europe? And, like, only, like, the rich people can go do it. We are not rich.
No.
And we did it by any stretch of the imagination. But I think it's well worth it. This is the second time now I've seen Ed in Argentina. I've seen Taylor in Sweden, obviously. I was joking around. I was like, who should I go see in Asia? But I cannot recommend highly enough. Take a girls trip with your friends. Go see one of your favorite artists in concert in another country. I think it is one of the coolest experiences. And it's just one of those, like, not to be corny, but you're like, man, like, music is universal and it really just brings us all together. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's just, I don't know, really something beautiful about that.
Yeah.
Any wrap-up thoughts from you about the trip before we just a brief discussion of Bridgerton, everyone. We're not going to get too into it.
Super brief.
Like super brief.
Yeah. I don't have anything really else to say. It was it was a great trip. You know, the climate's worse than anybody anticipated, so get a credit card and go to Europe. That's my advice to you.
Yeah.
I'm already planning a trip for next year for me and my husband, and I'm like, I'll find the money. I'll find the money.
I respect that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was great. And then while we were on the trip separately at different times, we both watched
Bridgerton.
And wow, Nicola Coughlan is my everything. She's my everything.
She's fantastic. I can't stress. I've watched so many like interviews of her and Claudia Jesse, who plays Eloise. Yes. I just like find them both so funny and fantastic and just like gorgeous little humans. And yeah, of course, because I watched one, now my algorithm, it just like keeps showing me them, and I'm not mad about it because I'm like, I could just watch the two of them yuck it up for days. They're fantastic.
Yes. But yeah,
it was quality. Like obviously the carriage scene is getting a lot of buzz and love, which is understandable. But yeah, just overall, I'm really liking the season. I'm very sure, y'all, like, I get very, I know that this is fiction and everything's going to turn out okay, but, like, knowing that obviously she is Whistledown and knowing that Eloise knows and knowing that obviously Colin is not a fan of Whistledown, I'm very stressed. I'm very stressed for the second half of the season, even though I know everything's going to be okay, because that is the Bridgerton way. But,
yeah,
it just stresses me out.
You're frozen again.
Oh, in a weird way. Is my hand up again?
It's the hand again.
I can't.
I love this season. I'm really excited to see what goes down when inevitably it comes out that she's Lady Whistledown. Like, you can't get married to him without telling him. Like, let's be frank.
He's going to need to know.
I love that Nicola has used her press tour to raise over $1 million for families in Gaza, which is incredible.
Hells yeah.
What's Louise's real name?
Claudia Jesse.
Claudia Jesse wore the same suit on the press tour as well several times. So sustainability queen. So I love them both.
She lived on a houseboat for 3 years, I learned. And I was like, oh my God, very Copenhagen of you. I don't know where it was. Maybe in Copenhagen. I'm not sure. But she lived on a canal and houseboat for 3 years and said it was like some of the best times of her life. And I was like, God, you're so cool.
She's so cool. And she's like, so cool. I don't think I'm the only one doing this. I don't think I'm the only one who thinks this. But Louise and Katrin? What's her name?
Who are we thinking of?
The blonde.
What is her name? It's Cressida. 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 That's her name.
So I am on a train. I've gotten on a train, and I'm on it. I'm placed in it. And that train is... I already forgot her name.
Cressida and Eloise.
Cressida and Eloise. Eloise? No. Louise.
Yeah.
What's
Eloise.
Her name?
Eloise. It's Eloise.
Wait, have I been saying Eloise this whole time? Because I feel like I haven't been.
I don't know, to be honest now.
Well, I ship them. I think that they should be a little queer couple on Bridgerton. I've seen a bunch of book readers say a bunch of stuff about the other sister who's like kind of new in the scene this season, whose name I...
Oh, Francesca.
Francesca. Yes. I've seen a lot of readers say some things. Keep that energy away from HSB. We don't know shit. We aren't readers.
Yeah, we aren't readers. We're readers, but not of Bridgerton.
But not of Bridgerton. I'm actually reading
readers.
A like little, there's like a book series all these different authors are doing, and they like loosely base their shit on like Disney princesses. So there's a Cinderella one, there was a Beauty and the Beast one, and now I'm reading the Little Mermaid one, and first of all, I'm like, how appropriate. What excellent timing.
Copenhagen vibes. Yeah, excellent timing. But Daddy, I love him.
And you know what? It's very good. I don't remember why I was bringing this up, but
To prove that you read? No, I'm just kidding. We just don't read Bridgerton. And I'm not gonna. I'm sorry. I'm just not gonna. I'm gonna keep watching the show though.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna. I do love, speaking of Francesca, I do love her, like, her definitely, like, neurodivergent vibes, right? Yes. Like, obviously, they, like, in that time period, which obviously, like, Bridgerton is, like, that time period, but we modernize it. It's not, like, something you would, like, call exactly that, but she, like, definitely, like, has those vibes. And I love that the one guy that she's crushing on also has those vibes. But I also know that this isn't her season. So I'm like, dang, they're not going to end up together, are they? But, like, I really do generally like them together. And I really do genuinely want them to make Eloise part of the queer community, because she just gives off
she gives much queer of that.
And if we just, like, have her end up with, I think her book is something about, like, to Sir Philip would love. If she ends up with Sir Philip, fuck that. Now, if it's Sir Philippa, or not Sir Philippa, Lady Philippa, then I'm okay with it.
I really would like her to not be straight. Although I thought that, like, initially, because I've always kind of stanned Eloise, and... But then when she had that storyline with that, like, newspaper boy, that was cute. Yeah, I was sold on that.
That was cute.
But
yeah.
I just think...
But her and Cressida. But her and somebody. I don't know. But yeah, good season so far. Also, I've already told this to Michael Ann, but I want to go state it on record. We are not big Snow on the Beach girlies. It's pretty much a must skip for me on midnights. Bridgerton, though, with their fun little covers, they did in the last episode of the first half of the season a cover, like a little instrumental cover of that for one of the ballroom scenes, and I was like, oh, this is good. So I found it. If you make it an instrumental cover, Snow on the Beach can be good. But other than that, no thank you. Just not one of my fave songs.
It's a skip.
That's a skip for me. Thank you. We're just going to skip right over that one.
Yeah.
But that pretty much sums up my thoughts. Instrumental, Snow on the Beach, good. This season, good. Love Eloise. Love Penelope. Love the actresses who play them, obviously. And I'm ready, excited for the second half of this season.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Let's ride. Baby. Horticulture, baby.
That
was said a lot on this trip. So to all of you, I wish you a fourth person on the train if that's something you're into, and if you don't want a fourth person on your train, I respect that too.
I guess
very much respect both of those. Hope you enjoyed this madness. I had a good time.
Me too.
And take care of yourselves. We will see you on Tuesday. See you, talk to you, you know what I mean, for chapters 2 and 3 of The Mean and More. Keep on keeping on until then.
Bye.